Matthew 23. And we spend a lot of time reading Scripture, because that's what we are supposed to do, amen? And by the grace of God, His Holy Spirit's guidance and direction, we glean many blessings from His Word. And we talked today a little bit about the Pharisees. And we've talked last week, I believe we were talking about Paul and Paul's heart for people, his heart for the church, how Paul had the heart of an evangelist, but also the heart of a pastor. Paul didn't just want to blow in, blow out, and give somebody something to help him. He wanted to give them something that would help them continue to grow in the Lord. And he had that burden to check back on folks, and he checked back on the churches to see how they were doing. And we have been blessed to have some evangelists like that today. Matter of fact, Brother Earl, I'd put him in the, and I'm sure Brother Earl would say he's no Paul, but I would say that he has that heart. And he calls me every once in a while just to see how things are going. And called and talked about Brother Jim. Jim had been on his heart a couple weeks ago, and he called and talked about Brother Jim, wanted me to tell Brother Jim that Earl Anker's praying for him. And it's a good heart. It's a sensitive heart, sensitive to the Spirit of God. And that's a blessing, a huge blessing. And today, we're going to look at some people that didn't have a good heart. And we're going to look at some Pharisees here. By the grace of God, we'll read through these verses in Matthew chapter number 23, beginning in verse number 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplace, in the markets, excuse me, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto ye, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witness unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Well, Jesus was not a Joel Osteen preacher at all, was he? Here he is talking to the religious crowd, and you're going to find in the writings of the New Testament that he preached more against religion than he did against the drunkards and the whoremongers. Amen. He preached more against them because they were leading people the wrong direction. Right. And by the grace of God, we'll look at a few things today in Matthew 23. In verses 2 through 7 again, he says, we won't read them all, but he says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. We see the righteousness of the Pharisees. It's self-righteousness. Now, understand in verse 2, they sit in the seat of Moses, it says. Now, they're sitting in the seat of a deliverer. And because of their religion, they have no power to deliver. Isn't that ironic? They sit in Moses' seat, the deliverer, that delivered God's people from Egypt, which is a type of the world. And instead of the Pharisees delivering people from Egypt, the type of the world, they're delivering people to Egypt. Amen. They're not taking them to Christ and making them less carnal. They're allowing them to follow in their footsteps and being more carnal. Their righteousness was self-righteousness. And that's what the Bible talks about when he's looking at Israel. He talks about in Romans, he's talking about them going about to establish their own righteousness and rejecting the righteousness of God. And that's the problem with the world today. That's the problem with religion. 99.9% of what you would say is religion today is filth. It's garbage. It's no good, because it's all about man trying to establish his righteousness and skipping and overlooking and ignoring the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's his righteousness that we have on our account as saved individuals. It's his righteousness that we are trusting in to get us to heaven. It's his righteousness that we can stand today and say we are headed to heaven forever to be with him because of his righteousness. They sat in the seat of God's deliver, yet they had no power to deliver. Verses 3 and 4. Again, it says they observe everything they say, but don't do what they do, because they're not doing what they say to do. Verse 4, it says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They talk a good talk, but they don't walk the walk. You know what? God's people ought to walk the walk. We shouldn't just talk the talk. Now, I'm not talking about whether you're lost or saved. I'm talking about how you're living out your salvation, how you're working out your salvation. We shouldn't just be hearers of the word. We should be doers of it. And I'm afraid in 2021, 2020, you go back several years in independent fundamental Baptist churches, we have a lot of people that talk a good talk, but many of them fail to walk the walk. And Jesus Christ is preaching about that. I know he's talking about lost people that are religious, but saved people ought to be held to even a higher standard when it comes to walking the walk. Amen? So the religious crowd, they talk a good talk, but they don't walk the walk. and they were driven by pride. It said they loved the uppermost rooms of the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. They loved that stuff. Their self-righteousness, they were driven by pride. They loved that pat on the back. They loved people to see them in Walmart and say, hey, aren't you Reverend so-and-so? Aren't you the preacher? Aren't you this? Aren't you that? They love that in their pride and their self-righteousness. Their self-righteousness and their worship, their self-worship. In 12 through 18, in verse 12, it says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. They exalted self instead of the Savior. Hey, there's nothing in and of ourselves that's any good. It's all Him. If there's anything we have to brag on, it's Jesus Christ that dwells in us. If there's anything we have to be thankful for and anything we have to be maybe a little bit proud of, we should be proud of our Savior, amen? Proud of the fact that He came to this earth and died for our sins. There's nothing in and of ourselves. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But inside us dwelleth salvation, light, life, truth. They exalted self instead of the Savior. Verse 13. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. They did not regard truth or souls. No regard for the truth and no regard for souls. They didn't care about anybody but themselves. And that's the way the Pharisees are today. They don't care about anybody but themselves. They don't care if anybody knows the Lord. They don't care if anybody gets closer to the Lord. All they want is a pat on the back, an attaboy, a hey, Reverend so-and-so, a hey, you know, bow down. Hey, we got a bunch of popes in Baptist churches. Yeah. Amen. Oh, look at me and look at my position. Well, look at the position and honor the position, but the person is not somebody you ought to be kissing the ring of. Amen. The person, he just comes down through here and he says that we are just brothers in Christ. Amen. We're no better than anybody else. We're no different. If you're cleaning the stool or you're running the church bus, there's no difference. Amen. God's allowed you to be a part of something that's in the part of the ministry. We're all even. We're all equal. And that's what he's telling the Pharisees. He's saying you're self-righteous and you have this form of self-worship. And you're forgetting about me. You're forgetting about my righteousness. And you're forgetting about the fact that you are supposed to glorify me. Amen. And then we see not only their righteousness and their worship, but their deception. Look at 23 and 24. In 23 and 24 it says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. They deceive others. Look at verse 28. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. But within, ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. They knew how to play the game. They deceived others. But you notice what he says there in the middle of that verse. He says, even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. He says, you might look all right to somebody else, but God looks on the inside of the cup. God's looking for the inside to be clean. God's looking for the heart. He's not looking for somebody to say, hey, I go to church every day. Every time the doors are open, I'm at every service. I'm at every prayer meeting. I go door knocking and soul winning. He's not looking for somebody to say that. Just I go through the motions. He's looking for somebody that's clean on the inside. He's looking for somebody that says, I've went to Jesus Christ. I've laid my sin debt at His feet. I've trusted Him and Him alone. I'm saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's all about Him. And I want to do what I can for Him. I'm not doing it for me. If nobody knows what I'm doing right, I'm going to do right. Amen. That's what character is. It's doing right when nobody else is going to be patting you on the back for it. Amen. It's doing right when nobody else can find out about it. It's that solicitor that calls you on the phone that you don't hang up on and you're the only one that knows it besides them and the Lord. Amen. It's that homeless person that you you roll your window down at the stoplight while you got cars honking behind you and say, "Hey, I just wanted to tell you the Lord loves you and He died for you. I got this. I don't have much. I don't have anything with me. I got a debit card and I got a Twix bar, but here's this." And Paul said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee." Let me give you Jesus Christ. Let me give you His address. Right here is Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9, Romans 10:13. That's the Lord's address. And when take them to the Lord. When nobody else knows, that's what you do when nobody knows about it but you and God. Amen. The Pharisees were doing it so everybody'd know about it. They wanted a pat on the back. God has a way of developing His people where they don't appreciate a pat on the back even anymore. Amen. We don't need a pat on the back. Sometimes we need a boot and a seat. Amen. He's the one that needs the pat on the back. He's the one that's done it all. He's the one that's righteous. He's the one that's worthy. He's the one that deserves all glory, honor, and praise. It's all Him. And the Pharisees had it all upside down, inside out, and backwards. And Jesus Christ let them have it. He didn't come up and say, "Well, you know, maybe a better way to do this would be." He said, "Oh, you generation of vipers. You love the uppermost seats. You love to be called rabbi. You love the attention in the marketplace." He said, "You love all this stuff, but you don't love me." That's the problem with the Pharisees. They were deceiving others. They weren't deceiving God. God looks at the heart. Look at verse 25. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within ye are full of extortion and excess." Look at verse 33. Jump way down there to 33. "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Not only were they deceiving others, they had been so busy at it, they started to deceive themselves. They think they're all right. They think they're all right because they're going through the motions, and you run into them all the time. Some of them preach every Sunday, amen. They think they're all right because they're doing pretty good. They had deceived themselves into thinking that they would be able to get to the gate, right? St. Peter's going to come out and he's going to say, "What you got?" And they're going to go, "Well, here's a list of my righteousness." And they're going to say, "We got to let you in." And that's where the Pharisees were. And he said, "How shall you escape the damnation of hell?" They had deceived themselves. 33, one more time. "Ye serpents, you generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Look at Acts 20. Turn with me to Acts 20. In Acts chapter 20, the Pharisees didn't end in Matthew. In Acts chapter 20, let's start in verse 26. Paul said, "Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Now pay real close attention here. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise," exalting themselves, there it is, "shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Part of the counsel of God, part of the whole counsel of God, part of preaching everything that God once preached is warning against false teachers, warning against false preachers, warning against false doctrine, warning against the heretics of this world, warning against these Pharisees that don't care about God, they don't love God, they don't care about your soul. All they care about is a pat on the back. They're looking for something new that they can say they come up with. Solomon said there's no new thing under the sun. They're not going to squeeze anything new out of this book that the Baptists didn't know 400 years ago, amen. But they're going to come up with something new in their mind so they can entice you to believe what they believe to draw you away from the truth. I want to preach just a little while today about poison from the pulpits. Poison from the pulpits. Today there's a lot of poison being spewed out from pulpits around the world. Now we're familiar with a lot of this stuff. We talk about it a lot. We talk about the Bible rejectors. That's poison. We talk about the Bible correctors. That's poison. We talk about the briders. That's poison. We talk about the Calvinists. That's poison. The charismatic movement. That's poison. The replacement theology crowd, God's through with Israel. That's poison. That's toxic. You can't even rightly divide your Bible. You can't begin to if God's through with Israel. You got to throw the book away and start over again. And that's what a lot of them have done. That's poison. But today I want to talk about two very dangerous and often overlooked vipers. And the first one of those is the believe and receive crowd. And that believe and receive crowd, see in Acts 20, here in the book of Acts, the Bible still talks about repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. The believe and receive crowd, see, there's no repentance from their message and there's no repentance from their converts, if you will. I use the word in quotation, they're in the air quotes. See the air quotes? You can't see that on the CD. So it's air quotes, the converts. They're not really converted if they're not really convicted. And again, I'll tell you, that there doesn't have to be an understanding of what the word even means. There just has to be the action of repentance to turn from and turn to. It says repentance toward God. A lot of people don't turn toward God. You know what they want to do? They think Jesus Christ is a salt and pepper shaker that's going to spice up their life a little bit. They want to give their life a little spice. I'm just going to keep living like hell, keep doing the things I'm doing, keep chasing the things of the world, keep running over people, being a liar, a deceiver, a thief, a whoremonger, adulterer, a fornicator, do whatever I want to do, drink what I want to drink, smoke what I want to smoke, go where I want to go, be what I want to be, do exactly what I want to do, let this flesh have its way just like Solomon did. No, add a little Jesus on there. That Bible says Christ, who is our life. If you're saved, he's not a seasoning. He's your life. But there's a dangerous crowd out there saying, just believe and receive. And I'm going to kick Joel Osteen one more time right in the britches because he's one of them. Just believe and receive. God wants you to have your best life now. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to go to his church, you're going to have your best life now. Because after this life, you'll burn in hell because he won't tell you the truth. That easy believism, just believe and receive. And nobody tells them they're sinners. Nobody tells them what sin is. They think sin's not putting money in the plate, most of these churches. Amen. By the way, if God tells you to do it and you don't, it is a sin. If the preacher tells you to do it and you don't, that's between you and the Lord. Amen. But the believe and receive crowd, they're a dangerous bunch of vipers. And they're crawling all over this world. Then we got a new crowd. I say new crowd because it's resurfacing this old movement. The second crowd is the new no hell movement. It's not just the Jehovah's Witnesses, by the way. There are Baptists that believe this now. There are preachers around the world. Preachers. I've got the air quotes going again. There are preachers. They're preachers, all right, but they're not God's preachers. They're preaching that there is no hell. A lot of them say that all men will eventually get saved because of God's irresistible grace. It's just hyper-extreme Calvinism is all it is. And there is no literal hell. That's poison. That's poison. And I say that to say this, God always has a remnant that stick to the truth. He always has had, and he always will have a remnant. Up to the end where he wipes this place out, starts over again. He's going to be living on, dealing with remnants. I believe we're the remnant in the church age. There is a hell. There is a heaven. There is a Word of God. And we have the Word of God. And we have salvation because of the Son of God. But these preachers, quote unquote, some of them, and this is a dangerous place to start. When they start doing this, put on your earmuffs and head out. Amen. When they start going back to the Hebrew and Greek to show you something, they can't show you out of the English. Because a lot of them are going back to the Hebrew and the Greek, and they're telling you, well, Hell, it's not hell, it's mistranslated, and some of the new Bibles don't even have hell in them, and that's true. They don't have hell in them, but they're out of hell. They don't have the word hell in them because in the old, the Hebrew and the Greek, what it really meant was some of the translators were wrong, and what it really meant was the city dump outside of Jerusalem, and that's where they took their trash and stuff and burned it, and that's what it's referring to is the city dump, and that's hogwash. They go back to the Hebrew and the Greek, and half the time they don't even know what the right text is, and they're trying to go back and say, well, there's no hell. I heard one preacher say this. I'm using the air quotes again when I say preacher. He's the devil's preacher. I'll go that with him. But I heard him say this. He said, hell used to bother me until I quit believing in it. I got two questions for that preacher. I wish he was here because I'd like to ask him these two questions in front of you all to hear the answer. First of all, why would hell bother you? It doesn't bother me. I'm not going. If you're saved, it shouldn't bother you. And second of all, why are you trying to explain it away? The answer to that's probably the same answer for both questions. He's lost, he's living like the devil, and he doesn't want to get right. So he wants to try to explain away hell so he can live like hell, his life can go to hell, his church members can go to hell, and his ministry can be all about hell, and he won't even say the word hell. Amen. Dangerous bunch of vipers. Oh, it's just a city dump. Look at 2 Peter chapter 4, or 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, I'm telling you that because they're coming for you. They're trying to get you. If you believe the truth, they want you. One of those vipers wants to bite you and get you out of God's will. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about messing you up on doctrine. And they're coming for you. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now we got a problem here. So God, he took these fallen angels and he punished them by throwing them in the city dump. Which, by the way, is not it there anymore. The city dump that these people allegedly say hell is in the Bible. So they're in outer darkness. They're still in hell today, but that city dump's gone. So they've got a little bit of a problem. And the problem is they won't accept the truth. And the truth is there's a burning literal hell where people will spend eternity if they reject Christ. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, I don't care who says it. You better find out what the book says. You better find out what the Bible says. You better find out what God says. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verse 25 and 26 and 27, we'll read down through here a ways. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. What he's talking about in Acts chapter 2 here is he's talking about way back over in the book of Psalms. And in Psalms, he's talking about Psalm 16:10. David is talking about prophetically about the Lord Jesus Christ and God not leaving his soul in hell. And it wasn't the city dump. He actually went to hell and dropped off your sin debt and mine. And God brought him out of there. And he rose again that third day with victory over death, hell, and the grave. He had to go to hell to drop your sin off. He didn't go to the dump. And I'm glad he didn't. You know why? Because when the devil comes around and he starts listing your sin, the devil won't be able to walk down to a town by Jerusalem and dig through the trash and say, hey, look, there's your sin, because your sin's gone. It was cast into hell. Jesus Christ carried it down and he kicked it off into hell and he come out. He didn't go to the dump for you. He went to the grave for you. He went to the hell for you. And he rose with victory for you. Poisonous vipers. Luke 16. Luke 16. Looking at Lazarus and the rich man. Go to verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died, that's Lazarus, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He didn't go to the dump. He didn't go to a fictitious place. He didn't go to Sheol, the grave, and lift up his eyes. He went to hell. Now I guess, by reason of the viper thought, if you could think like a viper, I don't want to, but I'm just trying to fit this into my mind, how if the rich man went to the dump, I guess maybe Lazarus went to what? The recycling center across town? This is silliness. I'm not even gonna give them the credit of calling them fools or idiots. You know what they are? They're wicked. Because they want to steal your belief in the Bible, and they want to take people that are on their way to hell and tell them there is no hell. You just do what you want, and God's going to save you no matter what. You have no worries. Just live like hell. Because there is no hell. Poison. How could this be? How could this happen? Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I'm glad we have a Bible. I'm glad we have a church full of people that aren't going to a literal hell. Now remember, we just talked about the Pharisees. That's all it is pride. Romans 3:13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Remember, he just called them whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. These preachers are open sepulchers. And death is in their throat. Because what comes out of their throat destroys. Death is in their throat. They're deceivers. Their words are poisoning people. They're bringing death on many. And we'll just go ahead and rattle Steven Anderson's cage a little bit, because he's a big troublemaker. He split more Baptist churches than even the Baptists could do, amen? And the Baptists are good at it. But he's drawing people out, giving them false doctrine, making up lies about preachers all over the United States, taking things out of context and making little videos on this guy, this foolish teaching of this guy, or this foolish teaching of that guy. He thinks he replaced Israel. He thinks all kinds of stupid stuff that you can't find in the Bible. But he's telling lies on God's men. And people are leaving churches and going to fake churches to serve the devil on their way to hell, many of them, listening to the devil's men instead of God's, listening to the words of Satan instead of the words of the Savior. Open sepulcher full of death. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. How could this be? Got a bunch of serpents running around out there. Put on your big boy britches, because I'll name some more names. You might watch some of them. I don't know. We won't stop at Olstein. We'll go to Kenneth Copeland. We'll go to Joyce Myers. We'll go to, we'll kick little John Hagee a little bit and his boy. False prophets. Amen. Some of them preach some good stuff, mixed in with a lot of poison. Kick them all if they're wrong. We go by the book. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He's coming back, by the way, for that 1,000-year reign. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Listen to this again in verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They're turning from the truth. Now look what it says now. Careful, all these words are pure. And shall be turned unto fables. They didn't turn by themselves to the fable. They turned from the truth, and the vipers give them a fable. So how's this happening? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 5. As Brother Earl would say, I'm glad you asked. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 5. How could this be? How could a country choose God, love God, be founded on the words of God, and end up where we're at today in 2021 with all these vipers and all these misled people that think they're saved? Some of them are your neighbors. Some of them are your friends, some of your relatives, some of your loved ones. I'll tell you, they'll burn in hell if they've accepted these lies. I'm telling you that because don't quit witnessing and praying for them. Don't quit giving them the truth. If they're living like hell, assume they're going there. Amen. Amen. We've been sissified to the point where even the preachers don't want to preach it right anymore. Amen. Oh, I don't want to judge their salvation. If they're living like the devil, it's probably because they're serving Him.
Right.
Because they belong to Him. Oh, we're all God's children. No, we're not all God's children. Those people that haven't trusted Jesus Christ are children of the devil.
Amen.
You wonder why they live like hell. It's because they're serving their father, the devil.
Yep. Amen.
Well, they're just confused. No, they're not confused. They're lost.
Amen.
They're going to split a place wide open. Some of them don't even believe it's there.
Yeah, exactly.
They think they're just going to live like hell and go to the dump one day. I don't know what they think. I've been to the dump, but if that was hell, I wouldn't want to go there either. I'm going to heaven. Praise God. Jeremiah chapter 5. How could this be? Look at verse 31. The Bible will give you the answers. They're in there. Jeremiah 5, 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. Now listen to this. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Why is this happening? Because the people want to have their ear tickled, and the devil is more than happy to oblige. Hey, look. You might not like me sometimes. I might get under your skin. Me, not the Word of God, but me, personally. You might be mad at me sometimes. You might quit praying for me for a while. I hope you don't. But I promise you this. As long as God gives me breath and a sound mind, I will not lie to you from this book. I will do the best I can to preach the truth. And I don't want you patting me on the back. I want you praying for me up front. How could this be? Because people want to be lied to. You know why most marriages end in a divorce? Because people want to be lied to. They meet up and they lie to each other and they tell each other these big fable stories about who they are. And they put on the Pharisaical act for a while. And they just love it. We're so used to Hollywood. We're so used to a show, an act, a game that we buy right into this stuff. And then after the ring's on, then the real person comes out. Gradually. I mean, a preacher that I have a lot of respect for. Been married for years. His wife doesn't want anything to do with this Jesus stuff anymore. Supposed to be saved. He married a woman serving the Lord with her. Oh, she don't want anything. Too much Jesus. Too much Bible. Too much of a good thing. I just can't take it anymore. You know what it was? She's wicked. She didn't want to get right. She's either lost and don't want to get saved, or she's living wicked and don't want to get right. And the truth is, we just like to be lied to sometimes. Tell me, it's pride. A young man will tell a woman what she wants to hear. And victimize that poor girl. Amen. Destroy her life. And then go on to the next one. A path of destruction behind a liar. Old young lady, do the same thing. Oh, I'd go to the ends of the earth with you. I would. You are like Peter's big bad brother. You walk on water. You don't even touch the water. You are just hovering above water. Oh, you're my hoverer lover. And then everything about him annoys her. After the ring's on. Because we're deceived if we're not careful. People like to be lied to. You know when they like to be lied to the most? When it strokes their ego. Amen? Oh, young man. Oh, you're the strongest, best-looking man I've ever seen. Hogwash. There's 10 guys down the road better looking than you, bench press you and your truck. Amen? Amen. They're lying to you. They start that junk, be skeptical. Oh, you're the most beautiful woman that ever walked the face of the earth. I don't know how God even created you. I don't know how you fell straight from heaven. He just accidentally dropped you through the furnace vent. The cold air returned. He made a mistake. God made one mistake, and that was letting you down here. And then a week later, he finds out that the Lord called him to Zimbabwe, and ain't no way she's leaving mama. Amen. Amen. Because her and mama, they gossip pals, and ain't no way they can't gossip that much on YouTube or Facebook or Two Facebook or Instagram or whatever that junk is. We got to stay right with mama. Matter of fact, I got a better idea than Zimbabwe. They got a guest house out back. We could just live with them. Because people like to be lied to.
Yeah.
And they'll buy them lies when it strokes their egos.
Yeah.
And you know what the preachers do? These vipers. They'll go in, they'll get a big crap. Joel does it. He does it all the time. Joel is probably the gold standard for lying to people. I mean, he got the big church, right? Football stadium full of people that are going to hell, most of them. And God just, he wants you to be the best you can be. And God is blessing you because you're so good. And people are like, man, I am good. I love this. You know, if Joel one time, if he gets saved, and he'd get a real Bible, and he'd stand up there one time, and he'd look out that crowd and say, you're all a wicked bunch of dirtbags, and you're going to burn in hell if you don't get right, he'd have a church of about 3 people the next day, and one of them might not even be his wife. But he lies to them, and people like to be lied to. Hey, if you never get mad at me, I'm probably just lying to you. You can get mad at me once in a while. You might take something the Holy Ghost says to you, and you might make it personal toward me. You might get the devil tell you, oh, he meant that was you he was aiming at. He knows. He's been listening outside your window. He's got your phone tapped. And the Holy Spirit will kick you right in the rear end, move you 6 seats over, and you'll go, that preacher, I hate that guy. I'll just go to Joel's church. Well, good luck with that. But they're deceivers. They're deceivers. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's look at verse 13 first. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now look what it says in the next verse. Sometimes we stop there. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing and giant football stadiums, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Broad is the way. And people love to be lied to. And people are being deceived straight to hell from pulpits. They're sitting in pews and being lied to. And they're loving it. You know why it said in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely? And then it goes down through, and a little bit later in that verse it says, and people love to have it so. You know what the prophets were telling them? A lot of times in the Old Testament, peace, peace, peace. And there were one or two prophets out there going, destruction and judgment is coming. And it's coming soon. And you got a whole bunch of them going, peace, peace, peace. And they'll listen to the whole bunch of them because they like the idea of peace. It appeals to people. Just like that preacher, alleged preacher, the devil's preacher said. And I'm not saying he's not saved. He might be saved. He might have used to be God's preacher. But right now he's the devil's preacher. It's obvious. Just like he said. Hell used to bother me until I quit believing in it. You know what Americans want to do? They want to live like hell. And they want to be comfortable doing it. You say, well, why do you think that we're not running 300 or 400 people right now? Well, probably because of preaching the truth. And there's more options. I had a guy ask me one time, he said, why do you think so-and-so left the church? I said, there's too many options. He said, what do you mean there's too many options? There's too many other churches out there to choose from, too many flavors, like Baskin-Robbins. Why did he leave chocolate? Because he's got cherry mash down the road, and he's got this. He left the vanilla. He left the truth to go for the flavor. That's what happens. You remember, well, a serpent, what a serpent does, a viper, they bite a person, and that venom gets in their veins, and it's in their blood, and it travels through their body, and it destroys them through their nervous system. They can't function correctly anymore, right? That's what happens with a false prophet. He'll get out there, and they'll put that venom in their veins, and then they've got that poison. You remember when Paul, he was at that fire, and he reached down by that fire to throw a piece of wood in, that snake bit him. You see, there's an anti-venom. There's something to save you from the viper, and it's truth. Paul had enough truth coursing through his veins that the poison of the devil couldn't kill him. You know what you need to do? You need to be in church when the church doors are open. You need to be in your Bible at home every day. And you need the truth running through your veins so the poison of the devil can't destroy you. I say that because I love you. And it's my job to say that. It's the whole counsel of God. I know for a fact that when I got here, there were at least two people that were regularly listening to some of the people I named today. And I don't care. I'm not telling you you can't do it. I'm just doing my job and telling you you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't be listening to these false prophets. You shouldn't be letting the viper stick its fangs in your arm and pump that poison through your veins. Narrow is the way. It's this narrow. Thus saith the Scripture. What does this book say? This book says that if you reject Jesus Christ, you'll burn in hell forever. This book says that hell will give up its dead one day, and death and hell will be cast into a lake of fire to burn forever. And that's not the dump, but it'll be the last stop, unfortunately, for a lot of people we love, because there are vipers out there, we're pumping them full of poison. Pray for them and give them the truth. Don't assume they're saved because they say that they're Christians. It's fairly safe to assume if they give you a date where they trusted Christ, when they realized they were going to go to hell and they realized they needed to trust Christ. But don't assume and drop the ball when the proof is they're living like the devil. They probably belong to the devil. Amen. And I'm with Brother Blankenship. If nobody ever has any desire to be in church or around God's people and they say they're saved, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Don't take it for granted. Because not only do they let somebody else lie to them and love it, they'll lie to themselves and love it. Because they'll tell themselves they're all right when they know better. And they'll tell you they're all right because they don't want the conviction. Father, we love you. We thank you for truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Lord, I thank you for that word hell in the Bible. A literal burning hell where the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. I thank you that you warned us and you give us not only the calling and opportunity, but the obligation, really, to warn others. You've entrusted us with something that is so great, is worth more than all the silver and gold of the world, and that's truth. Help us to never leave it, and help us to have it coursing through our veins, that if the viper does get a bite on us, that it won't destroy us. Help us, Lord. Bless this church. Clean up our minds, our hearts, our eyes, our ears. The preaching that goes in needs to be solid, Christ-honoring, God-fearing, Bible preaching. Help us to not be fooled by the servants of Satan, but to stick with the testimonies of truth.